tuned in to Psychic View with Mona Van Joseph. This entertaining and interactive program is brought to you weekly on this station. If you have tuned in on Sunday between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Pacific Time, she's available to answer your specific question live on her program. To speak with Mona, please unblock your phone number, focus on your question, and dial 347-850-1494. That's 347-850-1494. Mona does her best to get to as many callers as time permits during the broadcast. Since 2002, Mona holds the privileged Psychic Arts License through the city of Las Vegas. She's the creator of the Dice Wisdom app for both iPhone and Android. Just $1.99 for all the questions you can think of right on your phone. Find out more by going to mona.vegas. Now, from the entertainment capital of the world, Psychic View, with your personal intuitive, Mona Van Joseph.
Hello, welcome. And if you're calling on Sunday, August 13th, between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Pacific Time, this show is live, and you can call in and ask me a question. That's why I'm here, is to answer your questions. So I'm going to go kind of right to the callers here. Before I do, I just want to let you guys know that last week was National Psychic Week. We actually had a week, seriously, which was really fun. And I had several of you take advantage of the special that I offered for a phone session. And if you reach out to me, let me see, this program's going to air today. It's also going to air on Monday and Wednesday. So if you reach out to me by Wednesday, the 16th of August, I will honor that same special for a phone session. So just keep that in mind if you want to have a full session with me. I'm going to go right to area code 913. Hello, 913. Who's this?
Hi, Mona. It's Andy. How are you doing today?
Hi, Andy. Nice to hear from you again. What's your question?
Well, I'm really excited. I've got a meeting at the end of the month, and although the meeting's purpose is regarding a research project, I'm kind of, or actually not kind of, very interested in work with them down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Just wondering how to approach it.
Well, first of all, I don't want you to give away the farm. Don't give away all
okay.
of your ideas. I'm serious. Don't give away your ideas to them before they hire you. I would instead ask the hard questions of what you know they're looking for to get help with, and say, I think I have some solutions for that. And if they ask you how, say, well, you know, it's really a system or a formula that I've created. And usually people employ me as a consultant or for the project for me to actually work it through. But I will tell you that I've had successes with this particular project with this company and that company or whatever it is. And you can have them call those companies for a reference. But I wouldn't give away too much. I wouldn't push your abilities. I'd actually have you pull them towards you. And
oh,
that,
okay.
By you asking the questions of you know, your understanding of what they're looking for is this. This is how you can help them do it, but don't tell them how you can do it. In other words, tell them
okay.
that this is what you can do, but don't tell them how you're going to do it. Because, and then if they go, well, how are you going to do it? Say, well, it's part of the reason why people hire me is my how. And,
okay.
And I bring a very unique quality to any environment that I consult with, and I'd love to work with yours. And then you go into another tangent about a successful project that you did for a former company that's sort of similar to theirs, and maybe you throw in the how you did it there, but you don't do the how you're going to do it with the new company.
Okay.
You want them
Great.
To be intrigued. You want them to step towards you. You don't want them to feel like you're doing a sales job.
Okay.
You want, in other words, you need to, I guess the vibration that I want you to step in there with is the idea that you are the solution, that you can fix
okay.
it, that you walk in with that, I'm here to help. And you can even say it that way, I'm here to help.
All right.
And,
yeah,
and when you go
excellent.
Kind of in that
yeah.
vibe, I'm here to help and I can help, you go in with that vibe and everything shifts. So what I'm picking up for you is that the best thing that you can do is look at this as though it is a brand new beginning for you. And I almost want you to take on more in the job. This says that you get it. I want you to take on more than in the job than is required of you, because if you wanted, it could actually turn into a full-time job.
Ah, okay. Wow.
And
okay.
It would be so you go in with sort of the all in. You're there anyway. You might as well be all in, right? And I tell people when they get a job, you're there for the 8-9 hours a day or 10 hours a day anyway. You might as well be fully
mm-hmm.
engaged. And
mm-hmm.
one of the best, I don't even know the name of the book, but it's the fish book from I think Pike's Market in Seattle, where they throw the
uh-huh.
fish and they make it all about employees being engaged in the moment. And if every employee was engaged in the moment that they are there anyway, they can't be wishing what they're going to have for dinner later or who they're going to meet later. They need to be
right,
in the moment.
Right.
And when they're in the moment, what happens is you lose track of time because you're fully engaged. And my whole vibration when I do readings for people is about bringing them to awareness and being in
mm-hmm.
the moment. And so when you're in the moment of this meeting, you actually tap into what your own gut's saying to say without giving too much away. But you can say, all I know is when I take on these jobs, I'm all in. That for the time
right.
that you have me, I'm all in. You've got me 100%. And any resource that I can contribute to making this situation or this project better, I'll do it. And when you go in with that attitude, whether you get to say it or not, the people around you will pick it up.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
All right, gal pal. Thanks for
the
call.
Thank you so much.
All right, see ya. Bye. All right, I've got somebody here from the 860 area code. Hello, 860.
Hi.
Who's this?
Hi, it's Amla. How are you?
Hi, Amla. What's your question?
Okay, so there's a few things that's going on. I actually walked away from somebody. It was a long process for me to go through, and so now I'm wondering if you see me with somebody else, a relationship, committed one, somebody who's substantial. I'm done with the baloney.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm getting that you've been doing all this the hard way, and I want you to do it the easy way. And for
okay.
9 weeks, I'm giving you a 9-week homework assignment. Are you ready?
Sure. Yep.
Okay. For 9 weeks, it's not about how you impress other people. It's how other people impress you.
Okay.
I want you
okay.
to take on the what's in it for me vibe, not the what I know is in it for you vibe.
Okay.
In other words, I don't want you to be too much of a giver. I don't want
yeah.
you to show off about how amazing and smart and beautiful and sexy and all of that you are. For 9 weeks, the only
okay.
relationships that you're going to pay attention to are the ones that seem to step forward to you.
Okay.
Because you're done with the bull crap of trying
yep.
to keep the relationships going. And this is not only in romantic relationships, it's also in friendships. You know,
yeah.
there's always that one friend that it feels like the only way you get together with them is if you hound them to get together with them.
Yes. Yes.
That those are the friends
yep.
you need to let go of. Those
okay.
are the friends you put on the back burner and you wait till when and if they contact you. It's really funny. I have a friend that if
yeah.
she calls a friend and the friend doesn't call her back within 12 hours, she deletes them from her phone.
Wow. Wow.
Now, the funny thing is that, you know, she may reinstate him as soon as they text or call her back, but she kind of does that because it's a way for her to stay right in the moment with what's
yes.
really working for her and what's not
right.
working for her. And it's a great test if you think about
awesome.
It. Because,
yes,
you know, if
yes.
you were to send somebody some sort of a – if you were to call out to somebody and they didn't call you back and you deleted them and then they did call you back, oh, who's this?
Yep.
You know, I'm serious. Oh, yeah, well, I have this new system now that if someone doesn't call me back in 12 hours,
yeah.
I delete him from my phone, so sorry, you know. But
yeah.
but what I'm getting with you is that you've been doing it the hard way, And
okay.
I'm sorry, you are creating your life to be as effective and amazing as possible. And the last thing you need on this planet are people that don't appreciate you for who you are.
So do you think, like, in the next 2 months or what, after this test, that I'll meet somebody, like, just it'll just walk in, it'll just be that easy?
Well, here's the thing, is that first you got to experience the idea of more of a what's coming to you instead of you chasing. Because I have this feeling that you have a tendency to be attracted to people that are emotionally unavailable.
Yep.
And I'm telling you that I don't want you to – I basically want you to break that bad habit of being attracted to people that are emotionally unavailable. And that's both romantic and friendships, maybe even coworkers. I just want you to step back and see what's coming to you, not what you have to chase. And that when you balance that energy a little bit, then what happens is that you're more likely to recognize a healthy relationship than, you know, there are a lot of women out there that go after guys that are or even gals that are jerks. And they think that, oh, they're the ones that can melt that person's heart. They're the ones that can, you know, they confuse the idea of someone who's kind of a dick with the idea that that's strength, when in fact that's fear. Because the more gracious and polite someone is, I think the more spiritually evolved they are. That if you can be kind in even an uncomfortable situation, if you can be kind even when you know certain things are not going exactly the way you want to, and that means that you need to start attracting people to you that can be gracious and kind and considerate even when the chips are not going their way, even when the universe is redirecting them. So I think the universe has given you over and over again the message that you're being redirected from the assholes and towards people that are really supposed to be in your life. So when you ask me about timing, the timing is I don't see you in a rest of your life going to be engaged in 6 months relationship in 2 months. What I see happening is because you do this energy, you start realizing more how the universe is working for you instead of against you, and you start weeding away the people in your life that have caused you pain. You step back from them, because I'm telling you that you don't want someone in your life you can't trust. And those jerks that you find yourself attracted to are not the ones you can trust.
So
you have to ask yourself the question, why am I attracted to people that cannot actually maintain a long-term relationship? Ask that question to yourself.
Okay.
What I'm getting is that it's more about what the universe is trying to show you and do for you, not what you have to chase or if you have to try to change anything. First of all, you can't change anybody but you, right? All you have to do is change your perspective.
Okay.
All right, gal pal. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
See ya.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, I've got somebody here from the 302 area code. Hello, 302. Who's this?
Hi, Mona. It's Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. What's your question?
My question is, what do my career prospects look like?
I'm seeing these weird cards come up for you. First of all, you've got to be really patient with what you want, because what you want is authentic to you, and you have to be willing. You have to be willing to wait for what you want. There are three men around you right now. These could be interviews. They could be people that you work with. There are three guys around you, and I don't like any of them. The one guy is cheap, so you might get a job offer from this guy, but he's going to totally lowball what you're worth. You don't really want to work for him unless you tell yourself it's only temporary. Okay? Then you have another guy here that he uses his sexual energy with you, that he's only hiring you because there's a weird attraction, And I'm not saying that being attracted to you is weird. I'm just saying that there's, it's like he's got this sort of macho, I'm a man role and you're a woman role, and you're going to play the woman role. And you don't want to work for him either, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the third guy is going to initially come across as somebody that really appreciates the skills you bring to the table. And as long as you keep serving him and making him look good, you can have the job. But if you try and shine anyway at all, he'll shoot you down. So you got these three. And it's interesting because I don't know if you've already worked with these three men, or if you've already experienced this in some way. But it's what it's saying is you watch out for those three men. So because it's just men coming up screwy in your reading, it might be that the next job opportunity that you actually go for is with a woman and not with a man.
Okay.
That maybe what this is saying is that you might have told yourself all along that I work better with men, when in fact what it's saying is that the next that if you go in that direction with that sort of stereotype that you work better with men, it's saying that there's going to be something that grabs you by the short hairs and totally tells you that there's something opposite with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's saying that you got to be patient, and it's saying that one of your biggest skills is bringing harmony to chaos, and that when you work in chaos, you actually do your best stuff. So what is your career industry? What is it that you've been good at before?
So I'm a career changer, and I'm just graduating from a master's program in clinical mental health counseling.
Oh, how cool. So it could be that these three men... Oh, wow. Okay, so I just got this flash for you that maybe you actually write some sort of a book about these three masculine types.
That's bizarre because my passion is to work with workplace bullying targets, and as well as companies to prevent it.
I just got goosebumps. I did.
Wow.
When you said that, I just got goosebumps, because it could be, and it's funny because I see you doing some sort of a presentation that is specific to, because, you know, women have come a long way since the 70s. We've come
mm-hmm.
a long way in career, right? And
mm-hmm.
and I remember in the 80s when I actually had a regular job, I was freaking wearing a suit with a tie.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I would wear a man's tie, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving
yep.
away a bit of my age here. But the
No,
thing
I'm
that,
with you.
Okay. But what I'm getting with you is that, you know, here women that have gone through the 70s and the 80s and 90s to prove that there's an amazing contribution that the feminine aspect brings to the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
You still have the stereotypes of these three men.
Mm-hmm.
You have cheapskate, the sexual energy, and Mr. Know-It-All.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Mr. Cheapskate, Mr. Macho, and Mr. Know-It-All. And it's almost as if I could see you doing a screenplay that interweave all three of those characters, Mr. Stingy, Mr. Macho, and Mr. Know-It-All.
Mm-hmm.
And that you create, that may be part of the reason why your career hasn't quite solidified or gelled yet, is because I think that you're supposed to do something different than, and you got to wait for it. It's going to present itself to you, but I'm getting that no matter what, there should be a woman that you work for next initially.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm seeing that you do some sort of creative thing with those three characters, Mr. Stingy, Mr. Macho, and Mr. Know-It-All.
Okay. Awesome.
And that they could all be, you could make up, you know, XYZ Corp. And that could be, XYZ Corp could be the name of the movie. But you'll come up mm-hmm. with the right, you know, the thing is that those stereotypes are still there. And here's the thing I'm sad about, and I'm sorry you've kind of opened up a big can of worms with me when we're talking about this, is that I am very saddened when I see all of the progress women have made to become noteworthy in the workplace, and I see other women using their sexuality to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
It saddens me at a soul level to see that, because it takes all the work that all the women did before them and throws it right out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in some cases I do think that we're going backwards, not forwards.
Well, and that could be, that could be. I mean, it's like, what's interesting is that normally you would see that celebrated, that those three roles, Mr. Stingy, Mr. Sexy, and or Mr. Macho, and Mr. Know-It-All. You would see that in a 60s movie sitcom, you know, movie like a Doris Day, Rock Hudson thing. You know, you'd see that,
right.
And that was the norm. You
yes.
know, and you watch those old movies, and the women are wearing tight little pencil skirts.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and it's
yeah.
like, and you don't see unless the woman is in, you don't see them in a powerful role, and then you're just opened a big can of worms. But I'm supposed to tell you about that can of worms, because it's just coming out of me to you. So. So your question was about career. It's the big message is watch for the people that the men that go in that stereotype, because you're not supposed to work for them. You're supposed to work for someone that celebrates what you bring to the table in a very big way, and I think it's a woman.
Okay.
And lastly, I see you somewhere connected with, I don't know, a hospital environment, not necessarily doing what you're graduating from, but almost as a sort of a workforce dynamic leader.
Okay.
Something like that. Anyway, that's what I got for you.
Awesome.
All right,
thank
friend.
You so much.
Thanks
All
for
right,
the call.
Take care.
See you later.
Thank
okay,
you.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, I've got somebody here from the – hold on, we take a break a sec. I'll be right back.
The Dice Wisdom App is an entirely new method of divination. Based on the casting of two regular dice, this entertaining app is a remarkable way to receive clarity on your questions. Easy to use, accurate, and thought-provoking, the Dice Wisdom App will provide you with the exact attitude, action, or energy to promote the most positive response to your query. Ask a yes or no question, ask about how to attract love, or simply tap the dice for daily meditation. Find out more at dicewisdom.com. Go ahead and roll the dice. Your life only gets better from here.
Would you like a full session with Mona? Since 2002, Mona holds the professional and privileged psychic arts license through the city of Las Vegas. Mona is a life intuitive. When you recognize your potential, you will see that the universe always supports you with blessings. In this moment, awareness is everything. She will see what's going on with you and will let you know about potential opportunities and challenges in your current environment and what's likely to happen if you stay in the same perspective. Sometimes you just need someone help you to untangle a specific situation. A full session with Mona has the ease of being with your best friend or favorite aunt. She helps you look forward so you may create your most authentic life. Mona will give you hope. Her website is mona.vegas and her phone number is 702-571-0461. Awareness is the key to everything.
All right, I'm going to go to area code 216. Hello, 216. Who's this?
Hi, Mona. How are you?
Hi, I'm
this
great.
This is Sharon.
Who's this?
Happy
oh,
Sunday.
Hi, Sharon.
My
What's
name
your
is
question?
Sharon. Hello. Not to go into too much detail, but I started a new job and I got fired on Thursday.
Oh, bummer.
I know. Oh, my God. This man, it was just incredible. He was
oh,
just
no,
so
he was
incredible.
A dick, but that's okay.
I know, Mona. It was whatever. I'm sending resumes. Do you see me getting an offer, another offer? I was so in shock. I thought that was going to be a retirement job. He was impossible, Mona. I mean, to the point where it was unbelievable.
Well, here's the thing. He's scared of turning over control,
oh.
which is part of the reason why it didn't work. And the interesting thing is that there's a complacency about him that was unbearable for you, that when you went to him for a decision and he couldn't make it because it represented too much change to him. Yeah, that's just, I think you dodged a bullet here. Totally. So here's the thing.
I know.
You've got this card that talks about how amazing you are at what you do.
I'm over it, sweetie. Believe me, I didn't take it to heart. Just to let you know that. I was okay, but
yeah.
Go on.
Oh, no,
yeah, I really
yeah. And I
okay.
get that. But I think the angels yeah. are guiding you away from that to give you one more indication of what you don't want in a job.
Okay.
You're getting just one more big sign of what you don't want in a job. And so here's the thing, though, is that you may have been able to reach out to other clients outside of the business when you were working at this job. So one of the things you could do is actually reach out to the competitor of his business.
Okay.
And actually, you don't even have to list this job as that you worked there because you weren't there that long. Yeah.
My recruiter told me I didn't have to.
Yeah, and what I would do is I would find out competitors to his business and get freaking hired by them.
Do you feel me finding something? I just sent out more.
Okay, but here's the thing. Is that I have to tell you, I'm going to go on my soapbox again like I did with the last caller. I am so disheartened by how people are hired these days.
I heard the whole thing.
Yeah.
I know.
But here's the I'm not going to go in that direction. I'm going now in a different direction.
Okay.
So here's what I'm disheartened by is that there was a time that you would actually get an interview and that just by you meeting somebody, you got the job. Even if your skills were maybe only 30% of what they needed, it was the attitude that they hired, not necessarily skill
set.
That's
how I got this job, to tell you the truth. But go on.
Okay.
I won't go into details, but honestly.
Here's the thing. It is the fact that when people meet you, they like you. So I'm incredibly disheartened by how people are hired now, because they look at a resume and, you know, you don't know if the resume is truthful or if it's all made up, and that, you know, you don't know. Right? When you're looking at a resume. Because I had someone say once that everybody lies on LinkedIn. I don't lie on LinkedIn. So everybody does not lie on LinkedIn. You see?
Good point.
But what I'm getting with you, and this would be a marvelous thing for you to do, is get a friend to video you in a little 2-minute introduction. And then put that on YouTube. And then use that link on your signature when you send your resume.
That's a good idea.
Because I'm giving you that idea and all the people listening that idea that are looking for a job. Because here's the thing, is that your personality comes through very easily on video. And so you do a 2 to 3 minute introduction video, and you can say, here's my hello video. All right, let me say hello.
Okay.
That's even better. Let me say hello with the link to your video. And then you look right in the camera, you say, hello, I'm Sharon. Thank you so much for taking a couple minutes to get to know me and I'll look at my resume. But I wanted to let you know that the reason I'm interested in your company is because I think that you have the right diversity and experience and, elements to create a mutually beneficial arrangement with me. I think I can make your company more profitable. Whatever it is, whatever your mojo is, you say it in that video. It can be as short as a minute. It can be as long as 3 minutes, but not longer than 3 minutes.
Okay.
And then what's nice about it is that you can actually show, if you have animals, you can show a picture of your animal. The thing is that people can't ask you to do that, but if you offer some things that make you even more amazing, like you could show a plate of cookies. I make amazing cookies. These are my oatmeal whatever cookies. Because, you know, I was telling somebody earlier, I did a reading first thing this morning before I did the radio program, and the question that's the hardest for people to answer is the tell me about yourself question. Because people don't know what direction to go. So I always use the cooking analogy. I say, I make amazing cookies. And when I make amazing cookies, I follow a recipe exactly first. And then I think how I can improve the recipe. So I still produce a great cookie, but it's got a little bit more of me in it. because I've tweaked it. So, for example, if you make oatmeal cookies, which is these are my specialty, if you add a bag of sweetened coconut to the oatmeal, you don't have to add anything else, just a bag of sweetened coconut to the oatmeal, it makes the cookies taste chewier and better. And since the coconut flakes disappear into the recipe, they don't know what it is that tastes different, but it tastes a little different. But it's subtle.
Yeah.
So I talk about the cooking analogy that I talk about first. This is how I follow the recipe exactly. In other words, I'm saying I do it your way first. I do it exactly your way first. And then I see how I can tweak it, that the job still gets done, but it might get more efficiently done. It might save you more money. It might make the employees feel more like a team. I don't say that, but it implies it, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So with you, the answer to your question, this is saying you can have a job in 3 to 4 weeks, that it happens quickly, but you start and you target his competitors first.
I know what you mean by that, by the way.
Yes,
I know what
because
mean.
What happens is that you end up doing, it's not vindictive. You just do it the way that you know it's supposed to be done, and you help the new company be more successful. And then when they ask you, oh, my gosh, Sharon, where did you get the inspiration to do blah, blah, blah? You don't have to name names. You can just say, let's just say that my past experience made me a perfect fit for your organization.
Thanks, Mona. I listen to everything you say. Believe me, I do. I'm all ears.
You're so sweet.
Thank you.
Okay, gal pal, I think you got this. And then you're going to email me, and you're going to say, oh, my God. Because here's the thing. It's like if you can show up in person – because, again, when people meet you, they adore you. There's something about your personality and presence that's just very engaging. And, you know, we're not all computer geeks where it's just about being able to do coding to get the job. So
that was part of my job. You're so funny.
Okay, so what you do is you show up. You actually send the resume. You wait 2 days because you've got the guts to do this. You actually apply online, you send the resume, and then you show up with 3 dozen donuts to HR. And you say, I wanted to drop these off for HR, and could you just drop these off? And there's a little note on the top. Well, the note on the top's another copy of your resume and an introduction letter, and I just wanted to stop by and get a feel for your organization. So I hope you enjoy these donuts, and it starts your day off sweet. I wanted you to have a sweet start to your Wednesday or whatever it is. And then you just drop it off, and the receptionist goes, this really nice lady named Sharon dropped these donuts off for you. Really, what was she like? Because really, when it boils down to it, it is the actual meeting of the person that gets the job. It's not really your experience.
The
so
good
you
news
target
of all this,
his competitor.
Is that my friend is a recruiter. She got me a temp job for tomorrow for a couple of weeks, so that's going to help while I'm looking. But you get your next caller. Okay.
Okay.
I'm telling you
what's so cool about this is that at this temp job, you might look online and see what they're hiring for.
Yeah.
And on Wednesday, bring in donuts. Hey, thanks for hiring
Thank
me
you.
For a couple of weeks. Here's some donuts. All right, gal pal. See
thanks.
Ya. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, I've got somebody here from the 919 area code. Hello, 919. Who's this?
Hi, it's Mahisha.
Hi, Mahisha. What's your question?
Just a love life in general question about my love life.
All right, let's see. Okay, so what I'm getting is that, all right, relationships are a journey, not a goal. All right, and I want to tell you, I've had a string of readings with people lately that have the idea of marriage as a goal in a relationship. That they're not actually identifying the relationship; they're identifying the goal of being married, and they're not even really thinking about the relationship. What's interesting is that is what I'm seeing with you is you have a card here that talks about it's about you kind of blooming into your potential first. That you become totally fulfilled personally and professionally first before the love relationship steps in. So what do you do for work?
Right now I am in PR, but I am not currently working. I do community relations, stuff like that.
Okay, so here's the interesting thing is because I'm getting that it's coincidence through your work that introduces you to the perfect partner for you.
Okay.
So I would say that whatever you need to do to get yourself in a regular business schedule, as a matter of fact, what I'm even seeing here is that anything that doesn't seem to serve you professionally or personally should be totally ignored.
Okay.
And it's going to be the timing with you to meet the right person that's going to end up spending the rest of life with you, your life with you, the guy, the one, the person for you is going to be through work. And you know what's real funny? I just got a flash for you. Do you do anything with any sports teams? Have you done anything with any sports teams in the past?
No. I have nothing with sports teams, but I want to with community relations for them, like the big major sports teams. Yes.
Okay, because I want to tell you that that's the direction I'm picking up for you, that you may end up with an athlete through doing this, that there's going to be this one guy that just thinks you're so sweet and that he can't resist being around you when you're around. It's like he makes an effort to come over and say hello to you. But I'm getting a sports team. I'm getting it very strongly. And what's also cool about that is that I think that if you start looking, even if they're the minor sports, you know, like the minor baseball teams and, you know, like because they have
right.
The leagues, the different leagues, you probably know that better than I do. But
yeah.
But I want you to go with – what are you laughing about?
No, you said I probably know, but – I mean, I love baseball, so for you to bring that up was like, wow.
Well, because what I'm getting this real – the guy I'm getting in my head for you, brown hair, blue eyes, kind of skinny, lanky. He's got a little boy quality to him, and that he's a guy that grew up loving baseball because his dad loved baseball. He can quote statistics. He's – this is the guy I see for you. So I see you connected in some way doing that for a team, and you need to be willing to relocate to wherever that team is.
I am 100% willing. I'm actually in the process of moving to Sacramento, California. So.
Okay, so I got Sacramento. Sacramento's good, but I don't know why, but I got Texas too.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
So just... But, you know, just poke around.
It's hot there. I love Texas.
It's hot in Sacramento, too. I mean, I know it's more muggy in Texas, but I'm just telling you, I'm getting that really strongly for you, gal pal. And
okay.
I'm just saying, be open to where the job is.
Okay.
Because it's saying that there's somebody out. You know, what you seek, what you want, also wants you. And when you take on that vibration that what you want also wants you, it makes the whole process super easy.
Okay.
And just go into that vibration that what you want also wants you. You have nothing to prove. You've already proven it. And when you talk to these people, you go, I would really like to align my skill set and what I can bring to the table with your amazing team.
Okay.
All right. You got this, gal pal. And then you're gonna email me and tell me what happened.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
All right, see ya. Bye. All right, I've got somebody here from the 909 area code. Hello, 909. Who's this?
Hi, good morning, Mona. My name is Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
And
what's your question?
Hi. My question is, my brother-in-law died 5 years ago. The first trustees were there for 3.5 years and did bad things, self-serving things. So the heirs decided to get an attorney, petition that they be removed. Took a year and a half because he tried to stay on. Finally,
yeah.
He's going out. I recommended a new trustee, which was my girlfriend, and she said okay. But then the court's being backlogged and everything, it took a long time. I showed her all the paperwork. I told her I'm right there. I know everything. And now she's quitting, okay? So I talked to the attorney. I said, look, they asked me to be the take over, and I didn't want to, but I do now. I'll stick it out to the end. And I just got a phone call, which is very strange, that my girlfriend told somebody that I was denied being the trustee. I don't think that's right, because my niece, who got the attorney, paid $7,000 for the attorney to petition to get the bad trustee out. I haven't heard anything. I have to be the trustee. I can't tell you why, but there's embezzlement. I've looked at the business records,
okay,
the bank statements.
Okay, so
will
first
I
of
be
all,
the trustee?
This is saying yes, but there's another hoop to jump through. The person that was the trustee before is absolutely awful. The
yes.
one that the one that is going to be no longer the trustee, absolutely awful. And you're right. There's embezzlement. There is there's fraud. There's all kinds of crap going on here. And that you are the healing element to this. But I'm surprised that you would have even suggested your girlfriend take over as the trustee without you stepping in first. Because
I know.
You know, here's Emma, that's a surprising thing to me. So maybe because the girlfriend turned it down, you know, maybe someone misunderstood how that
came out.
Can I tell
you why I recommended her? The first trustee was my ex-husband, who quit after a few months, and then my son took over.
Right.
He was the co-trustee, and he was horrible under the guidance of his father. And so the heirs petition to have him removed, my niece wanted me. And I told her, sweetheart, since my son is the one involved, I think he'll get more cooperation if we get a neutral party in there than me, because he's very upset with me for giving you the advice of what you can do, petition to remove him. So now he won't talk to me. And I know all the bad things that are going on. So she was hanging in there for a year and 4 months while he was in court trying to stay. And I showed her so much information that I've been able to get from the other nephew. And now that she quit, I mean, I was really upset, because I spent hours and hours explaining to her what trustees do, showing her the bank statements, the checks, and the embezzlement,
right,
and
right.
everything. So now I think she's angry with me, and somehow I think she's working against me to be the next
okay.
the next
so,
appointed.
So here's what we do. Let's go from the karmic perspective first.
Okay.
Is that you make a direct phone call to her, and you actually say, hey, I'm so sorry that it didn't work out with you being the trustee. And I want to let you know the qualities of why I wanted you to be in there is because, first of all, you're smart, you're a neutral party, and I think I was being a little chicken when I asked you to do that, and I think that it's my bad that I didn't step up then. But I really appreciate everything you did and that your initial willingness to do this. You need to say something like that to her. You need to help her save face in some way, okay? But you, Ginny, you know how to do this, all right? Then what you
yes.
say is, I'm stepping in the role because I realize that the only way this is going to be done the way it needs to be done is if I step into it. Now, if she turns around and she goes, well, I heard a rumor that you're being denied being the trustee, and then you say, well, where'd you hear that? Now, that could come from your son.
Since he's out of it.
Doesn't matter.
I hate the word conspiracy, but I feel like there's a conspiracy that they don't want me to be the trustee because I know all the dirt that was conducted
okay.
in the two different businesses.
But here's the thing, is that you want people to know that if things don't go a certain way, that they're going to lose face. But you want to help them save face in the process. Because the biggest thing with your son is he doesn't want to tarnish his reputation. And you have proof of what could tarnish his reputation. And the most important thing to your son right now is saving face. He knows what he did wasn't right. So what
does
you
he
do,
really? He really, really knows, huh?
Oh, yeah, he knows. So
okay.
what you do, and it may be that you send registered mail to him exactly what you have, or just one or two items of what you have. And you say, look, I need to be the trustee because you know these things weren't above board. They weren't the way they were supposed to be. And I'm allowing you to save face by never speaking about it again and being the trustee. Did you
I
say
tried
something?
To give
you
him said? Advice. He refused it.
Oh, no, no,
he'd rather
no, no, no.
go with his
Sweetie,
father.
He won't. No, he won't. You send it to your ex too. You send it to his father too.
Okay.
You send it to both of them. Say, look, I'm trying to save face for the family here, but these items, and you pick out two or three items that were edgy. They were verging on unethical, or they are blatantly unethical. You get two or three items that you and you get a copy of them, all right? And by the way, I would make several copies and put one set of copies in a safety deposit box somewhere, just so you have it. And then and then maybe give a set of copies to a friend that they like, you know, that you seal it. You know what I'm saying? It's just have backup.
Right.
Maybe if you even have an attorney, that there could be a set of papers with the attorney that, you know, to be opened in case of whatever, okay?
Right.
But you send two or three items of proof to your ex-husband and your son, and you say, the reason I'm taking over as trustee is you may or may not be aware, but these things are unethical. And I want the whole family to save face. So in spite of our feelings for each other, I'm trying to do the right thing here. By being the trustee, so that none of us lose face.
Okay, is she conspiring against me at this point?
She's not as strong as you are, so she. Could
I know that's
be,
my mistake. I thought she was a tough person.
That's fine.
I mistook toughness for courage, and she's not courageous.
Okay, no. The thing is that you need to go with the benefit of the doubt. And you need to clear it with her first. And you need to say, you know, I really, really think that you're an amazing person. And I think it was too much of a burden of me to ask you to be the trustee.
Well, at that point we didn't know there was embezzlement. So yeah.
That's fine. I think I didn't realize the extent of what I was asking you to do for me. I didn't realize it. And I owe you an apology because I've uncovered some things that just are not right. And I think that by you not doing it, I think you've dodged a bullet and I think I've dodged a bullet. So I just wanted to let you know that I really appreciate you. And then wait and see what she says. Because if she turns around and says, well, you know, blah, 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 then you have a piece of information. And that's all
but
you want right
yes,
now.
But is that a yes, Mona, that she's conspiring against
no,
me to be the
I
next
do not
trustee?
Think, sweet, no, here's what I'm thinking, is that she doesn't know better. And you've got to kind of treat her like a puppy or a kitten that doesn't know better. Because that's the vibe I'm getting, is that she may be being influenced, but I don't think she's trying to be evil to you. I just don't think she knows better. And I think that's why you need to have make the big, brave phone call and have the dialogue with her saying, you know, I think I owe you an apology. And she'll go, well, what for? Because she's going to be curious that you would call her out of the blue and say that. And you say, I think after I found out some new pieces of information, I think I asked you to take on something that is, it was too much of me to ask of you to be the trustee. And I just want to let you know that I'm going to step up and become the trustee. And if she says, well, not if, you know, blah, blah, blah has his way, say, well, what do you mean? And you get the information. See, that's what you want, is for her to fess up any information. And you do not get emotional or lose your temper or get upset when you do this, because you're petitioning for information. That's all you're doing. But you're also karmically giving her an apology because you didn't realize the crap storm that is a result of you finding out what's really gone on with this.
Correct.
You were not
aware.
Say, I owe you an apology because I was not aware of what I was asking of you until just now.
I wasn't.
But
because there is
like
embezzlement
that.
With one of the owners in the business, I'm very brave, but I don't want to be stupid. I
know.
Would I be in danger exposing the other owner and all the embezzlement?
No, sweetie, you start with her. You say, sweetie, I owe you an apology because I had no idea until I got this deep into this trust what a can of worms I've opened. And I owe you an apology for even asking you, because I should have found out more information for even asking you. So I'm really sorry, and I totally understand why you didn't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she was conspiring against you, she would have taken on the role.
Mm, okay.
Think about it.
That's another
aspect. And you gotta,
right.
You got to go with the benefit of the doubt that she's looked at the crap storm that's this whole trust and went, oh hell no. So she's trying to disengage, and she may not be as effective as communicating as you are. So if you open the way by saying, oh, my God, I totally owe you an apology. I had no idea that there was this crap storm involved with this trust until I
started
doing
it. Well, since she's quitting, she told the attorney she does not want to be appointed the next trustee. Why is she still engaging, calling people, you know, going behind my back?
No.
She should stay out.
Sweetie. All you do is you make that phone call, because if you start from that humble apology side, and you're pulling information from her, you're not going to get upset. You're going to just say you're going from a very innocent place when you do this, and you say, I owe you an apology. I had no idea what I was asking you to help me with until the last couple weeks. And I realize that I've stepped into a total crap storm here, and I totally understand why you're not going to do it. And I'm telling you, your timing's perfect, because if you weren't going to do it now, it allows me to step in and do it.
Cool.
And I just want to tell you, I appreciate your willingness initially to do it, but if I were you and I was stepping, I wouldn't step into this crap either, and make it light. But then when she starts volunteering information to you, hang on her every word and take notes on her every word.
Well, as long as I know she's not conspiring against me,
I
feel
better.
I
don't think she is. No, I'm more worried about your ex-husband and your son than But if you can pull the information from her and sort of win her back to your side, that's what you want to do. And I would make that phone call today if you can.
Okay.
All right,
Gal
Pal.
Try.
Thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much, Mona.
Okay,
you're wonderful.
Welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
The Dice Wisdom app is an entirely new method of divination. Based on the casting of two regular dice, this entertaining app is a remarkable way to receive clarity on your questions. Easy to use, accurate, and thought-provoking. The Dice Wisdom app will provide you with the exact attitude, action, or energy to promote the most positive response to your query. Ask a yes or no question, ask about how to attract love, or simply tap the dice for daily meditation. Find out more at dicewisdom.com. Go ahead and roll the dice. Your life only gets better from here.
What if 9 days could totally change your life? Mona has created the 9-day energy reset just for you. This life-changing ritual allows you to relax into your authenticity. Following the specific instructions in this guide, you will allow your specific and unique energy to shine through. You will create and attract the amazing opportunities the universe is prepared to deliver to you, and what you know in your heart you can have. Where great thinkers have initiated inspiration, this guide allows you to actively be engaged in the energy of attraction and love. It is the missing link to all you wish to attract to you. You can buy that extra latte today, or you can change your life today. Your life is a choice. Please visit 9dayer.com. That's 9dayer.com. Would you like a full session with Mona? Since 2002, Mona holds the professional and privileged psychic arts license through the city of Las Vegas. Mona is a life intuitive. When you recognize your potential, you will see that the universe always supports you with blessings. In this moment, awareness is everything. She will see what's going on with you and will let you know about potential opportunities and challenges in your current environment, and what's likely to happen if you stay in the same perspective. Sometimes you just need someone help you to untangle a specific situation. A full session with Mona has the ease of being with your best friend or favorite aunt.
She helps you look forward so you may create your most authentic life. Mona will give you hope. Her website is mona.vegas and her phone number is 702-571-0461. Awareness is the key to everything.
Thank you for tuning in to Psychic View. Mona records this broadcast live each Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. The call-in number for the live recording of Psychic View is 347-850-1494. Follow Psychic View or the Mystic Mona on Twitter and Mystic Mona on Facebook for special broadcasts and announcements. Mona's app, Dice Wisdom, is available for iPhone and Android. Only $1.99 for all the questions you can think of right on your phone. Go to dicewisdom.com. Questions answered by Mona on this program are not a substitute for professional medical, legal, psychological, marital, or financial advice. Psychic View is presented for your entertainment and consideration. Mona is available for phone and in-person sessions in Las Vegas by appointment. Mona's website is mona.vegas, or you can contact her by dialing 702-571-0461. That's 702-571-0461. Thank you for tuning in today, and remember, Psychic View, because awareness in the present moment is the gift.